How much crying have you done lately? That is in part an answer to the simple question I have this morning. Have you ever been to a place, perhaps a hotel? You made a reservation, but when you got there, they didn't have your name or your reservation. You ever experienced that? How did you feel? Felt pretty calm? Didn't matter? A little bit anxious, not knowing what you're going to do right then and there. Maybe you've been to the airport. You're trying to get your tickets. And they tell you, we don't have your reservation. Maybe you never experienced that. We were, if I remember right, was flying out of LAX. And had printed up our itinerary, done everything online, and we don't have it. What's your locator number? Well, here it is. Well, that's not working. Your credit card number. And that didn't work. Somewhere it got buried. They finally found it. But you thought, at least I thought, well, by the time they get this straight, I may miss the plane. But you know, those kind of times can create some anxious moments. I've even experienced it where I had a reservation, but when I got to my room, I found out they had somebody else in the room. And I walked in and was like, I think there's somebody in here. And I kind of tiptoed and backed out the door. And about that time, the man figured that somebody's in here besides him. And he come running to the door, but he was scared. He was wondering what was happening. I think he probably wondered maybe somebody had slipped inside or whatever it might have been. But once I heard it coming, I just stood at the door and waited. And then I told him, well, somebody's told me that this is my room. And obviously they somehow missed you being in it. So I went back down to the front desk and they got it all straight. My question is very simple. Is your name enrolled in heaven? That's not the time to have reservation problems. That's not a time where you're going to wonder if the Lord somehow missed seeing your name. I remember one group sung a song in reference to that, but in a part of it, it said, please look again. But you know, God doesn't make any mistakes. So if Jesus doesn't read it, well, we're beyond being in trouble. The writer in the 10th chapter of Luke, starting with the 17th verse. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The disciples had been sent out. The Lord had given them their work to do. They had been out, but now they come back. And the 70 of them have some joyous reports to give unto the Lord. Devils are subject to us. We've been able to cast them out, but it is all through your name.
And he acknowledged that they had been able to do that and expressed, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." That does not mean that Satan was in the heaven of heavens. But what he was saying, "I beheld him falling in the hearts of men." That's called one of the heavens. I can see his defeat. I can see the fulfilling of what God said way back when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that they would bruise his head. That there would be victories that mankind would have over Satan. He's seeing that, and he acknowledges that to them, that I've seen it. Even though I wasn't with you, I was there in spirit. And I know where you've been, and I know what you've accomplished, and all of this is well and good, but that's not really what I want you to do so much rejoicing over.
Amen.
The one thing that I want you to rejoice concerning about, and I would dare say the most important thing, is that your names are written in heaven.
Yeah.
Had it not been for that, those demons would never have been subject to them in the first place.
Amen.
So the most important part was the very fact that their names were written there, that they had been accepted by God, that God had blessed them and had embraced them, and they had embraced God. And it is the same for you and I, even in this day and time. That we have a place with the Lord where we can know truly that our names are written there. He let them know, "I will give you power over serpents, over dangers, over things that you encounter. I will give you power over scorpions." In other words, over malicious and crafty men, people that you're going to encounter in your work. Those kind of things I'll give you power over. But the most important part is that your name be written in heaven. That you have a place where you have entered into relationship with me. To establish where I can tell my Father that you are one of mine and I want you kept in my name. That is what we are to have even in this day and time. As you look upon it, you can consider that there are many times that the saints rejoice when things are accomplished, and they rejoice because of some of the victories that are won. But even for us, the most important thing is that each one has their name written in heaven. There are other times where people can show forth a lot of things, and you think about the scripture there in Matthew when they told the Lord, "Didn't we do many things in your name? We cast out devils. We did other miracles. We have done many things, and we did them all in your name." And yet he would tell them, "I don't know you." It tells me that there is a place where sometimes the Lord does work in behalf of other people, even though they may not be quite where they ought to be. Nevertheless, it also shows that's not the thing that establishes that we are truly right with God. The thing that we have to have is that place with Him where He can witness to us and cause us to know that He is still with us. Even in those trials and tests, even as they sung, the billows may roll, a lot of things may happen, and sometimes in those things, if you look at them at face value, you might would make the determination that God is not with that person. Everything that seems to happen is bad in their behalf. But nevertheless, God is able, through His Son, through His Spirit, to speak unto them then, to let them know, "I am still with you. You are still one of my children. Your name is still written in heaven." There will be some times where you'll meet trials and tests, and everything can be going wrong, and Satan will be right there to let you know that you must not have it. Look at all of the bad things that are happening to you. Look at everything that you've encountered, and you may find yourself somewhat spiritually stripped down to where all you can tell him, maybe everything is not going right. Maybe everything over these past months has gone wrong, but there's one thing I yet can hold on to. One thing I still have a witness to, that I have not sinned, that I have not transgressed against my God's law, and He still tells me that I'm one of His children. That is all that I have. That is all that I need. That is all that I hold on gone through in the midst of these trying times. But in the midst of all of it, you can't take that away. My name is written there. No one else can erase it. You can't erase it, Satan. Nobody else can expunge it. It's still there, just as clear as it was that first day that we got saved.
Praise the Lord.
Is it there? You and I will have to answer to that as we go along the way. You think about it, to have that name written there. The writers point out that there were those times back in their era that they would have many people kept a roll, or if you want to call it a public register, and as a person was born, their name would be written there on that register, the family that they came from, the date they were born, who they were. All of that was done so that when the time came for them to inherit their parents' inheritance, that there'd be no questions asked about who they are and where they belong. And I thought about that and considered the only problem with that is that sometimes people were judged unworthy for whatever reason, and their name was taken off of that register. But as you think about that, when you consider the stakes that were involved, the privileges that they had, I'm sure there were some that tried in some kind of way, through some underhanded manner, to either get their name put back on it or get somebody else's name taken off. And you find that that'll happen any time man is involved in whatever's going on. But nevertheless, to be able to recognize that, spiritually speaking, we can have that name written in, which establishes that this person is a citizen of heaven. This person has an inheritance that no man can take away. This person has something on hand that establishes when they were born into God's kingdom, who they belong to, and how their rights have been established. Is your name written in heaven? You and I can have that as we go along this pathway of life. Many times people fail to recognize the value of what they have. And even as you talk about Esau, I called him a profane person. But the reason for that was because Esau failed to really understand. He failed to really recognize what it meant for him to have that birthright. He really didn't have a spiritual mind. He had his mind off on other things, many of the writers say. But as you and I go along this pathway, we must keep our eyes fixed upon God. We must have a spiritual outlook as we go along this pathway of life. Too many times people get caught up in those trials and tests, and in looking at the when and the where and the right now, and in looking at just what I'm dealing with at this present moment. And they seem to have a disconnect that doesn't realize, give them the realization that through the midst of all of this, God is still working things out for their spiritual good. And many times they can finally conclude, what good is this salvation? What good is it for me to feel like I've got my name written in heaven? Anything that's happening against me at this point in time says just the opposite of that. And instead of me pressing on and going against the tide of life, I'll just turn and flow with it and go whatever way, and I'll just tell them I'm still yet saved. But you know, many times you'll have to keep going. You'll have to keep pressing, and you'll have to hold on to that very thought. This is something here that's a lot deeper than just saying I'm one of them and going along the pathway of life and yet floating whichever way is convenient or most easy for me as I go along the way. You think about it as we look upon the Lord, and He asked them, gave them that admonition, and it's posed in the form of a question today, to realize you can accomplish a lot of things in life, but where's your name truly written? Revelation, the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name
out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This church, as the Martin Hughes says, it calls it the dying church. But you know, as we go along the way, that's something that he gave reference to back then, but it still happens today. And you look upon this, and he let them know that this is what he is saying. The one that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. In other words, this is the Holy Spirit talking. The one who has control and the influence throughout the different churches and calling upon his ministering servants and utilizing different ones in various ways. And even as the brother said today, that he doesn't mind being interrupted. And you can have a mindset to come to church and prayer service could break out. You could have a mind to come to church and testimony service break out. You could have a mind to come and just think things are going to happen a certain way and something altogether different can take place when the Spirit is having its right of way. And it was letting them know by the Spirit that I have observed some things and I know your works. I've been there and I am there and I'm working with you and trying to deal with you along the way. And he lets them know, you have a name or reputation that you live, but you're still dead. And so the admonition to this church was to be watchful, to begin to observe and to look and to examine. And not only that, but strengthen the things which remain that are ready to expire, realizing that there are some precepts and some principles, whatever it was he saw about them. There were some things that because they had let down their watch, they were letting them slip away. And you and I, as we go along the way, many times you hear the songwriter saying, watch unto prayer and watch and pray. And you'll hear others admonish you from time to time to watch. And you think, well, that means I just need to be looking. But it calls upon you and I to not only look, but to recognize and to discern and see and understand the dangers of some of the things that we encounter along the way. Many times people fail to see the dangers in anything that they're pursuing at that moment in time, yet not realizing that there's a sting yet coming with that decision that they have made, that choice that they have endeavored to follow, not realizing until way beyond time that it's too late, and now I deal with the consequences of that which I've chosen to do. Here he lets them know to watch and strengthen those things. I have not found thy works to be perfect. I have not found them to totally meet my approval to where I can approve you in a way that maybe he did others along the way. And so he gives them that admonition to remember now those things that you have received, those things that you have heard. Hold fast onto them as you go along the way. Get in a place where you can realize what's taking place here, what's happening, and it calls upon them to repent. Many times we feel like, well, I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I don't have any more repenting to do. But as we go along this pathway of life, we can get in a place where we fail to watch, where we begin to get slack, and you and I can come upon some places where all we can say when the Spirit begins to show it unto us, Lord, that's where I am. I'm sorry to have been found in that place. Now it's time for me to get down on my knees and repent for being found in this place. Lord, I won't be found here again by your help and your grace. Help me, Lord, to be more watchful and prayerful as we go along the way. So he gives them that admonition, and he also tells them that if they fail to watch, I'm going to come upon you as a thief, and you won't know when I'm coming. Have you ever tried to watch for something and it slipped by you anyway? Everybody's a little different. But you know, one of the things I noticed, sometimes as I'm driving along, I'll take note that, well, my odometer's about to turn over another 1,000 miles. And I sometimes like to watch it turn over. And here just the other day, we were driving home from service, and I thought, hey, it's about another 7 miles. It's going to turn over before we get home from church. So I'm going to watch. But once I got up on the freeway and started watching the traffic, I didn't think about it till after I got home, and I said, I missed it. You know, things can slip by you just that easy.
from not being watchful. You find that the disciples were told to watch, but they were so sleepy that they just fell back asleep while Jesus was there in the garden. You ever seen that happen to you where you're trying to watch and you're fighting sleep, trying to stay awake, and just can't seem to do it? Yet he tells us to watch. Because if you fail to do so, I'll come upon you as a thief in the night. You won't know when I'm coming. So we are to prepare, and we need to be watchful as we go along the way. And it helps us to see that we must call upon the Lord to help us in our watching. Yet we find that Christ is a fair God. He acknowledged to him, but you still have some there that have not defiled their garments. And they walk worthy with me, for they are worthy. The Lord is one, and you find there's a difference there that when you're dealing with Satan, he doesn't give you much commendation. He's going to attack everything you do and try to somehow use it to accuse you and cast you down. But Jesus has a way of dealing with us to where even when we're wrong, he can acknowledge that which is right. And he'll call upon us and let us know that there's still some that's walking in the right path. There's still some that's following me, and they're watching as they go along the way. Their garments are white, and they are unspotted from the world, and they're still coming along this pathway. And so he uses that to encourage us, and he tells them then in this fifth verse, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life. I'm going to confess him to my Father and to the angels. This is another one that is one of mine. You know, as we go along the way, everybody wants that kind of commendation. Everybody wants to be acknowledged that I'm one of his. And yet you and I will have to be watchful and prayerful to do those things that are necessary as required by God that we might be able to make it in. Here as we look upon it, he tells them to overcome. He that overcometh, they'll be clothed in white raiment. They are the ones that will be honored. They are the ones that will be acknowledged. They are the ones that will be recognized as they go along the way. You think of that white robe, and it speaks of honor. It speaks of integrity. It speaks of dignity before the Lord. It speaks of being adopted by God and being one of his very own. It's a mark that others cannot obtain. And you find that not everybody can walk along in this world, and somebody who's never seen them before but maybe observes them for just a few minutes and walks up and says, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" Not everybody can do that. Many people claim the name of Christ. And I don't know how many times I've heard people do that. And then when others see them in action, they'll say, "Well, they say they're Christian." And you can tell by the tone of voice and the inflection that they don't believe it. But you know, you can also live the life in such a way that people can look upon you and they can acknowledge not only do they have the mark, but they have the goods down within. The Lord has blessed them to be one of his. So we are to consider that it's a place of rejoicing to know that our name is written in heaven. It's also a serious matter to be concerned about from day to day, because the Lord is the one who is able to blot men out. And as you look upon it, you can see he takes it seriously, because he sent his warning to this church to let them know, you must do differently. Otherwise, I will come upon you. Revelation, the 20th chapter, the 11th verse. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. No reservation. Hadn't taking care of things ahead of time. Obviously, you and I can't just walk up and say, I want to make a reservation right here and now, and you can place me on the plane right now. And you perhaps could do that if you pay enough money, but typically speaking, many times the planes are booked up, and a lot of times they're overbooked. And so it would be a little difficult to just walk up and say, I want to get on right now. It's no different in this spiritual walk of life. Many times people feel like, well, I'll get by. I remember someone, a young person, when we were all young people, said, well, I'll just wait till right before I die. Then I'm going to say, Lord, forgive me of all that I've done, and He'll take me right on in. You don't want to take that kind of chance. You know, I've also considered, sometimes people feel like they can get by that way. Or maybe they feel like, well, I'll just wait until I'm on my deathbed, and then I'll start dealing with the Lord. But I remember some time back, one brother made mention of having an accident or something, and he spoke about how that was the farthest thing from his mind, because all he was dealing with at the time was the pain from being in the accident. And it caused him to realize that had the Lord allowed me to be taken out, I wouldn't have had a chance to pray. I was too busy dealing with the pain. In this walk of life, you and I have the privilege and the opportunity to get right with the Lord now, to make our calling and election sure, to make our reservation sure. And after having done that, we then have the lifetime or whatever span of life we have left to make sure that it's kept and maintained that way. You know, now, a little difference in the natural reservations, once you make them, you feel like, well, that's done. I don't have to worry about that now. All I have to do is be cognizant of when I need to be at the airport to catch the plane or whatever the case may be. But yet, when it comes to this spiritual walk of life, we have to maintain a readiness. We have to keep that reservation. We can do things, even as it mentioned about those in the old biblical times, something could be done where the person's name is taken off of the register. They could die and it would be taken off. They could commit some robbery or some crime and they would deem them unworthy to inherit anything from that family and it could be taken off then. You know, in this day and time, we can walk in a way where the Lord deems us not worthy and take the name off. And the one thing I consider, as I've thought about it from time to time, when it spoke of Saul, it said he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. He didn't know. He didn't realize it. Yet he was going on as the king of Israel. It speaks of one or two others where they didn't realize that God's Spirit had stolen away and left them. Samuel, after all the Lord had done for him, or Samson rather, when he got in the place that he was, he didn't realize that his strength was gone. He thought, I'll just get up and shake myself like I've always done. Didn't realize that his strength came by the Spirit of the Lord. It wasn't just in him having long hair. The long hair was a symbol of the vow of him being a Nazarite, which was really saying that as long as he followed that, you had an understanding that he was following in the ways of God. And when God desired to give him that extra measure of strength that was beyond natural man, he gave it to him in those times that he chose to do so. But there came a time where that all left, and Samson wasn't aware of that. And you and I can still be in that same place. Feel like, well, I got saved and I made my reservation. And then go on without being as watchful and as prayerful as we ought to be. As we go on along the way, losing out and not being as obedient to God as we ought to be. And then come to a place where He's gone and we not know that He's actually left. We want our calling to be sure. And he tells us here in this scene, he saw the throne, the Lord upon it. The dead, small and great, rich and poor, those high up in society, those so low that no one paid any attention to them, all of them were there.
And it tells us that we will all be there, no matter who we are or what we are. Every single person will stand before the Lord at that point in time. And it says here that as they stood before God, the books were opened, and another book was opened. And it doesn't just tell you what all those books are. But one thing we do know, God said He would judge every man according to his works.
Yeah, amen.
And they used to sing that song, "My Lord keeps a record of the moments I'm living down here." Another place said every idle word would be judged. Whatever it is that we've done, God knows all about it. And there'll come a time when it'll all be revealed. Sometimes people go along the way and there's a lot of what some people call deep, dark secrets. A lot of things that nobody else knows but them. But in that day and time, it'll all be open, exposed, and revealed. And you'll find that as they look upon that, He'll be able to judge every man according to those works. But there'll be another book. The Lamb Book of Life will have some names written down in it. And He'll be able to look at those names and compare them against the works and judge them against His law. And He'll be able to determine, this is one of my sons, and this one is not. You know, you've heard that expression, and there was some reference to it even this morning in Sunday school, that there will come a time in the judgment when some people maybe that you and I thought wouldn't make it will be there. And some that you just knew were going to make it in are not there. You see, God's going to do all the judging. And He's the one who has all of the names written in the book of life. And if the name is not there, there won't be anybody saying, well, there must be a mistake made. There won't be any of that. Perhaps somebody may try to say that, but they won't be able to justify nor prove that. We have time in this life to make our calling sure, to make the effort and to have our name written in the book of life. And He lets us know here, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That the writer says death is the last enemy that will be overthrown. And the writers also, instead of saying hell, they use the word Hades, or the place of abode for those souls that have gone on. Won't be a need for that anymore. And those that are in paradise will go to be with God in His heavenly heaven. Those that were lost, they'll still be lost. And they'll experience the second death. But He says here, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You could kind of say it like this. No ifs, no ands, no buts. If it's not there, no one will be able to slip and write it in for you real quick. No one will be able to see, well, you know, it was kind of, there it is, Lord, but it's been kind of smudged up over. Somebody's dragged their hand over it, and, you know, that's really my name right there. It won't be any of that. If it's not in the book, they'll be lost. It kind of brings to mind the importance of each person working on themselves. It kind of brings to mind the importance of realizing the importance of the work that's being done or not being done. And as was spoken, I'll say this, because I do agree with it, that there are times when people are dealing with someone at the altar and they can recognize and God can cause them to see that they didn't get it. And they may let them know, you haven't gotten it yet. There's something there that still needs to be rooted out or given up, whatever the case may be. But you find many times people get somewhat indignant. I can think of a case where someone was dealing with a person and we just happened to be there, but there was an older minister there. And so we deferred to him, and as he was dealing with the person, he finally told them what they needed to do. But you could tell that wasn't what the person wanted to hear. And I thought, well, what's he going to do now? And you know what he did? He let the person have his own way. He didn't argue with them. He let them go ahead. They felt like they needed to pray for a certain thing. He let them go ahead and pray for it. And I thought, well, how do you reckon that? You know, it left me kind of in a quandary because I thought, here it is obvious. He told them what they needed. They didn't see that. And they went ahead to pray for what they wanted, but I don't know that they got anything. And I could also say that as life has gone on, you'd have to say that they did. So there are places where the Lord may cause somebody to see where we are. But at the same time, the importance of the work still rests upon you and me. It's still upon us to realize, I must make sure my name is written there. John, the first chapter, 11th verse. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus came to the Jews. He came to his own country. He came to his own people. And for the most part, they didn't receive him. They rejected him. There were some that did receive him. They did acknowledge that he was the Messiah. The works that he did, they accepted, and they came to realize this is the Christ. And we are to embrace him and follow in his ways. Those were the ones that they received power to become God's children because they believed upon Christ. To do so means that we are to receive him, to believe on him. And that power that he gives us is really the right or the privilege. He gives us the authority to become one of his children. He accepts us as we accept him. But it said, those that believed on his name. If you really believe something, what kind of an effect does it have upon you? None? Trust? How many believe that 2 + 2 = 4? And why do you believe that? Who proved it to you, though?
You were taught as a small child.
All right. You were taught as a small child, and it just makes sense.
I added them up.
He experienced it and added them up. But you know, when you first were taught that, now some, like, I think Brother Ptolemy is a mathematician, math degree, can probably go through the proofs and show you how 2 + 2 = 4. But as you look upon that, though, when you were in second grade or third grade, wherever you learned it, you just accepted it.
Yeah.
And they told you that's what it was, and you took it. And you went on through life without really questioning it. You know, when you believe something, you'll accept it.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, you'll take it without a whole lot of proof.
Yeah.
Sometimes we believe things just simply because somebody said it. How do we express it? Well, I have confidence in it.
Yeah.
So I believe it. And they could very possibly be wrong.
Yeah.
So you see, when we believe something, and it's what we want to believe, then we'll take it in.
Yeah.
He said, to those who believe on his name, they are the ones he gave power to become the sons of God.
Yeah.
So I'll just say it this way, Sister Smith said it that way. Do you believe what God says just because it makes sense?
Yeah.
You ought to. Because it does.
Yeah.
Now, there are some places where it may not seem like God's making too much sense to you and me.
Right,
but if we believe him, we'll still accept it.
Yeah.
And even as the writer said, you shall know if you follow on to know.
Yeah.
To believe on his name. Now, what does the name of Jesus mean to you? Forgiveness. What was that?
Love.
Life.
Comfort.
Comfort. mercies and the ultimate sacrifice. Have you ever looked at the names of Jesus? One place it called him the Counselor, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He's called the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He's our mediator. You begin to look at what all is encompassed in his name. Many times back then, they took something based upon the name. It meant something. It carried a certain impact, and it stood for something, and it was proven time and time again. Those who believe on the name of Jesus, all that it means to them, to realize that they've come to a place where they do find love. They have found that He redeemed them in His pity, and He saved them. He was their deliverer. He was their mediator in the time where they needed mediation between God and man, between man and man many times. Whatever the case may be, they found life in Him. Those are all things that come from the names of Christ. And those who believe and accept and embrace that then find a place where they can become one of His children and have their name written in the Lamb Book of Life. And have that name there until they do something that causes God to blot it out. But yet the Lord has given you also power to where you can walk and follow Him day by day, consistently, day in and day out, to where that name can stay there until He calls us home. Is your name written in heaven? That's a question that each person will have to answer for themselves. And I guess if you want to carry it a little further, you could then ask, well, on what basis do you believe your name is written there? You know, some people say, well, I was baptized when I was a little child, so my name is there. But is that a real basis for believing that? Some may say, well, I got saved a long time ago. And they say, once saved, always saved. But you know, God's Word says you can lose that. I had a young cousin here a while back question me, well, can you lose it after you've gotten it? Oh, yes, you can. And he said, well, where does it say that in the Bible? I said, but look at the different examples. We can lose it. But by God's grace, we can keep it. And have it to where when we meet Him in that final end, we'll have some comfort to know that it's written there. That kind of name I cannot approve. That kind of name I cannot okay. I can't say that you're written in my book and you can come on in and enjoy the joys of heaven. But a person can also live in such a way that they can have it there and know that it's there. How you know is partly by obedience to God and by the Spirit of adoption, where the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lets us know that we are one of God's children. You and I have that privilege. We have that opportunity. What will we make of it along the way?